This is Doug Miller. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit, and if you don't know the difference, you'd better pay attention. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are delighted and privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, looking at the wonderful, stimulating, important visions that were given to Zechariah way back in 500 B.C. They were very relevant to Zechariah's own time, but they look far ahead down into a future which we haven't even seen yet. This is yet to be realized. And the Bible is very clear on this, and the book is very clear on it. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah chapter 4 and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require and pray for and plead for the prayers of the saints. Now, you know, it doesn't cost you a dime if you're saved, to approach the throne of your Heavenly Father and pray for a lot of things, really. And I hope for Dialogue. I hope you'll write our name down. Pray for us that this word will go out clearly. Pray that men's and women's hearts be opened. Pray that people will be saved. Pray that this be an expanding ministry that will go farther out. Pray that in all things our Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted and glorified. Pray that I will be given a clear understanding of Scripture and that I will not offend or violate in any way the truth of this Bible, but will speak and preach the truth without any regard to what humans think about it at all. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to tell the truth. So pray. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you would like to email, that's fine, too. Our email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. If you would like to pull down our webpage and look at it, that's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay? And finally, if you would like to call me, I'd be happy to talk to you, but what you will get is a recording. Nothing wrong with that. We don't have a secretary on salary to answer these phone calls. We're not going to have one. That's an expense that we don't need. We want to dump all the money we can get back into this broadcast to see it go out. But the phone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a message, a recording. Leave a message, and I will get back to you. All right, when we were in here last time, we were looking at the two witnesses, the two olive trees standing on either side of the lampstands. And we were talking about this business of witness. We have Zerubbabel. We have, I am persuaded, Joshua, the high priest. Now let's look forward. And let's think about the two witnesses in Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, and let's just go forward and read this. We're going to find I think the same thing. I can't quote this to you, but I can tell you to hold your place there in Zechariah and turn to Revelation 12, and we will read about these two witnesses. And I think it's Revelation 12, isn't it? No, Revelation 11, I'm sorry. Revelation 11. And in Revelation 11, we have, guess what? A measuring of the temple again. We were talking about this business of measuring Jerusalem and the temple and so forth a few broadcasts back. Here we have it again. And in verse 3, we have the Lord promising to give power to his two witnesses. They shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, that's 3.5 years. And these are the two olive trees. Okay. Makes us think of Zechariah 4. We have two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when, let's just read on, very interesting here. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. No question about the city here, is it? And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And that same hour was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, I read all of that at some length because I wanted you to hear it. Those are two witnesses who, it doesn't take a lot of thinking to realize, are very much like the witnesses that we are looking at in Zechariah, but they are not the same. They're different. And yet they are in the same spirit. And you might say, well, why do we have those witnesses? Those witnesses, as I think many of you will know and realize, and those of you who don't, I'll pray for you and tell you to get somewhere where you can get some good, sound, solid teaching on Revelation. But these are two witnesses that will arise and be brought and stand forth on God's behalf during the great tribulation period. The great tribulation period. And you will notice, I said 3.5 years. Well, the great tribulation runs for 7 years. And they will prophesy during the first period of this, of the great tribulation. And they will be killed. And notice, the people on the earth will rejoice. This is an earth at that time bereft of any testimony from the Lord other than that which is provided by the nation of Israel. And just as these two witnesses in Zechariah are two Jewish people, those two witnesses yet to come in the future will be two Jews. Notice how the people of the world hate them. Well, the people of the world hate the Lord. They hate the Lord Jesus. They hate the church. They hate everything that God is doing in this world, although they wouldn't put it that way and would probably lie about it if you ask them and may even be self-deceived. But look at what the world is doing even now. Look at the persecution that the Christians are under in much of the world. Look at the hatred directed to Israel. Look at our own country, where so many people are trying everything that they can to stop the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many of them out there who would love to put an end to broadcasts like the one you're listening to right now. And they can't figure out yet how to do it, but they probably will. People who are lost are not looking for God. They are looking to get rid of God. And believe me, they're going to get their wish. And notice in the Revelation vision, it is the people rejoiced when these men were dead. They rejoiced and sent presents to one another and left their bodies laying and, you know, decomposing in the streets of Jerusalem so that they could see them and rejoice over them. They didn't want what they said. They are not interested. Once again, they're trying to get rid of God. Now, the two witnesses in Revelation, there's a lot of speculation and discussion about who they actually are. There is very little doubt in my mind, but that one of them is Elijah, and the other one, I think, personally, is Enoch. There are those that say Moses, but the reason I think Elijah and Enoch are the two people in the Bible who never saw death. They were translated and taken up alive from the earth, and they never saw death. If you say, well, what about Lazarus? Well, yeah, what about Lazarus? His healing was something of a resuscitation. He saw death again. And it is appointed unto men once to die, wrote the writer of Hebrews. Well, if that is appointed unto men, Elijah and Enoch are the two who never saw death and have skipped this appointment, but they got a meeting coming. They are yet going to die, if I read this correctly. Now, this is just my own thinking, and if you say, well, I don't agree with that, fine, you don't agree with it, but there are two living witnesses that are going to stand in Jerusalem in the latter day during the great tribulation, which has not yet come. They are. And what we have in Zechariah form is a type and a picture of those witnesses. They will prophesy. They will do many of the things that Elijah did in his earthly ministry here before. Shut up the heaven so that it doesn't rain. Call down plagues on the earth, and so on and so forth. Now that is yet to come, and yet it is coming. And yet it is coming. God will never be without a witness in this world. And he will. If it's not the two witnesses standing there in Jerusalem and preaching and crying out the gospel, it will be the 144,000 Jews sealed and sent out into the world. But he will always have a witness of some kind. Now let's look back at Zechariah. And let's look at what we have here. We have a picture of, once again, what was going on in Jerusalem at the very time that Zechariah wrote. We have Zerubbabel, who represents the physical government, the secular government, and we have, I am persuaded, Joshua, who represents the spiritual side of things, and they are standing here, and God has his hand on them. And I want you to notice in this sixth verse what God says, and the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I think that there's a good verse for you to memorize and underline in your Bible and write down somehow and stick it up on your refrigerator door or whatever you do and just look at it from time to time. I don't care what else anyone is doing out there, I can tell you right now that it is either the Spirit of the Lord or it is nothing. And we have all kinds of work going on out here today in the name of the Lord. We have all kinds of churches and denominational this and denominational that. And we have all kinds of programs going on and, you know, flagpole sitting and goldfish swallowing and I don't know what all. But none of it will come to anything if it's just stuff concocted by men. You can have all of the political action you want to put together. It won't amount to a thing. You can, you know, come up with programs and psychological gimmicks and run ads in papers and just go down the list. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It will come to nothing. All of man's wisdom and all of man's power are nothing, because no flesh will glory in the presence of God. It is either, whatever you are doing, you want to do something for the Lord, you had better look at what God says here in this. Because what does God say? He says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, these men at that time really needed to hear that, because they were beleaguered. They were surrounded by enemies that hated them. If you're a Jew, particularly if you are an Israeli Jew, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you are doing it right now. You are in this. I saw Bibi Netanyahu the other day on television. Many of you may have seen him addressing the United Nations. And he said flatly, Iran is not going to develop a nuclear weapon. We will put a stop to it. And he said, we may have to stand alone. If we have to stand alone, we will stand alone. But we will put a stop to it. Well, very interesting that he should have said that. And he said it, let me tell you, because I think he knows very well that Israel will have to stand alone. This country won't stand with him in that, nor will anyone else. But he made it very clear, didn't he? Well, Israel is not alone. They are not alone now. They were not alone back then. And God will never forsake his people. And I am telling you, anyone who wants to wipe out Israel had better guess again. It is not going to happen. Now look at this. Zerubbabel and Joshua, the priest, out of chapter 3 up there, here were two men who were trying to lead and guide Jerusalem at a difficult time, trying to get the temple and the wall rebuilt, surrounded by enemies. And look at verse 7 of Zechariah 4. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, saying, grace, grace unto it. I love it. I love it. These guys were going to build this temple, and they were going to put the headstone in place, and the cry is, grace, grace. And guess what that means? Zerubbabel and Joshua knew, if no one else knew, that what they were doing was of the Lord, and it didn't have anything to do with armies, with power, with might. This temple was going to be built. Moreover, look at verse 8 here. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Tzabaoth, the Lord of the armies of Israel, hath sent me unto you, for who had despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now the eyes of the Lord and the seven, this once again is a number, another symbol of the Holy Spirit. Here we have, for example, one of the other symbols that we have are the seven thrones, or the seven lamps, rather, burning before the throne back in Revelation. We have the seven spirits of the Lord of Isaiah 11. This is the Holy Spirit running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And listen to this now. I answered and I said unto him, what are these two olive trees up on the right side of the candlestick and up on the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I think, once again, that the message is very clear. The Lord has his anointed ones. He has those who are spirit-filled and messengers sent forth from him. In this case, once again, we have Zerubbabel and we have Joshua, the high priest. In another case, looking far down across the years, down to the future, we have the two witnesses of Revelation 11. And guess what? We have many in this earth today and in this world who have been sent forth by the Lord. You want to know how you can tell these individuals? Well, one thing is certain. The truly spirit-filled individual will not promote himself. He will not promote works on this earth as such. He will ever and always be promoting the Lord. And to this individual, whoever he or she may be, the word of the Lord is clear. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The Lord energizes his people. And when it is all said and done, we are going to find out, if we didn't know it beforehand, that the Lord is doing a work that is right and good, and he is exalted and will be exalted in this earth. Now, I don't know who I may be talking to out there. I may be talking to some of you out there who are Sunday school teachers, who are pastors, who are maybe missionaries, or maybe you're just a guy or a woman going to and fro, back and forth to work, and yet you are saved, and you are thinking maybe, well, what can I do? Let me tell you something. You give yourself over to the Lord and let him show you what he can do. And remember, as you go along, it's not up to you to worry about the results. It never was. I can testify to you in my own case, and I think many out there who are in ministries like this would say the same thing. It is very easy to get discouraged, to wonder, are we doing any good at all? What difference does it make? Does anyone care? Is anyone listening? And blah, blah, blah. And what can we do to make it better? And so on and so forth. Friends, it is not up to me to see to it that this is made better. It is up to me and to you who are believers to be faithful, to get the word out there, to put it out, and to leave it in the hands of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.